Good morning. I want to congratulate Jeff and Ben on their excellent presentations, and also thank them for setting our presentation, I think, up very well, because the topic we're going to talk about has to do with the quality of the data that is being exchanged. Again, I'm Sergey Lee, Northrop Grumman contractor. I'm a project manager for the CDC data and message brokering team. Can everybody hear me in the back? Okay. For those of you who are not familiar with what we do, we're in the business of electronic data exchange between CDC and its partners. Currently, we receive about over, I think, a million messages a day. And among the projects that we support are BioSense, where we receive and validate data from hundreds of hospitals across the country, as well as a number of HIEs and national labs, such as LabCorp and Quest. We also process HL7 case notification data from the states, as well as influenza lab result messages from state public health labs to the influenza division at the CDC. We have very extensive experience on the team with HL7, clinical and lab systems, and systems integration. Lastly, we're on the front lines of working with the states to provide technical assistance with and testing HL7 messages. We also work very closely with the CDC messaging and vocabulary team and VADs. So this gives you a little bit of a background on how we're linked to the topic that we're discussing. Next, I would like to thank a team of people who have not only contributed to this presentation, but also did the conceptual and architectural design, as well as developed and tested the prototype for this project. They include the CDC leads, Gautam Kisaranov, Arun Srinivasan, Mark Winarski, and Raz Gan of NICFI. They also include a team of Northrop Grumman contractors to the CDC, in particular, Vic Wadiobu, Jofi Kandamuri, Rob McGregor, Jamie Ratliff, and Copeland Jackson from the CDC message and brokering team. And also thanks to Mark Jensen from the FIN certification team. Okay. Before we talk about the goals, I'd like to provide a little bit of history and comment on the message validation service versus message quality framework. A couple of FIN conferences ago, we demonstrated a very early version of the product, which at the time was called message validation service or system. We received some very positive feedback from both the CDC and state partners. However, since then, it has been on sort of the back burner until this spring, when NICFI has asked CDC data and message brokering team for a completely new approach that went beyond a single web application toward more of a framework of services that could provide the public health partners with a set of options to achieve the goal of high-quality electronic messages. So that's how the concept of message validation service migrated or morphed into the message quality framework. Getting back to the goals. Design and build a flexible framework for message validation against published data standards. This refers to both format and content, including vocabulary. Develop a roadmap for future message quality services. What features and services do we want to develop in collaboration with partners over the next few months or years? And finally, demonstrate a prototype of the message quality framework. We had some FIN booth demos earlier in the week that hopefully some of you had a chance to see. However, we also have some screenshots during this presentation that will hopefully give you an idea of what the prototype looks like. If any of you are interested in the actual demo, please see me after this presentation. We can set something up. So what is the background for this? What is the problem that we're trying to solve, and what are we proposing? The public health community has a growing need to ensure that the data exchanged across numerous health IT initiatives meets a variety of relevant messaging vocabulary standards, including, but not limited to, HL7 V25. Currently, many of the processes associated with ensuring standard compliance in the public health community are very time and resource consuming, and the tools that are being used are outdated. The proposed message quality framework allows public health partners to access a set of services to ensure that their messages follow the applicable messaging vocabulary standards, including HL7, HITSB, CDA, FIN, and others. Anything that basically has a structured format and a constrained vocabulary can be validated within the framework of this framework. And that might include an EMR message or an EHR message referencing the previous presentations. So what exactly is the Message Quality Framework? It's a flexible framework of services and utilities designed to assist public health partners with preparing and communicating quality standard electronic messages as defined by the applicable messaging vocabulary and programmatic standards. Let me elaborate a little bit. First, MQF is not one system or one application. It is a framework that incorporates services and utilities with multiple options for partners to validate their messages. One partner might decide that an MQF website would be the best option, so they can go and upload their messages on the website and receive online validation results. Another partner may decide to send a message via FinMS and receive back an automated email. Yet another partner may choose to access a set of web services for the validation. The second point is, when we talk about message quality, we refer to the ability of a message to follow a particular data standard. For example, for an HL7 V2.5 influenza summary message that the DMB and some other teams are currently working on, it would be following the relevant nationally notifiable disease HL7 message specification, as well as the influenza summary message mapping guide. It would also mean compliance with the relevant vocabulary constrained to the influenza message as published in FinVADS. As another example, for a FLIP influenza lab result message, the data standards that we need to check against would be the FLIP influenza lab guide, lab result guide, and the constrained FLIP vocabulary, and so on and so on. We can expand this, these examples to any other messaging and data standard, BioSense, CRA, LIMS-I, alerting, CDA, and so forth. I had some slides prepared that listed in detail the current challenges and proposed benefits of the message quality framework, but instead, here's what I think is an entertaining and informative slide that showcases the current process for testing HL7 messages between CDC and the states. I can't take credit for the graphics, but there's a number of handoffs that are involved, and any of you who have been involved in testing and structurally, or I guess either structure or content validation with CDC, know that it takes quite a few steps to get to the finish line. There's a lot of email exchanges, there's a lot of dropping messages in test environments, and there's a lot of phone calls, and it takes sometimes days and sometimes weeks to get that done. So yes, it takes longer in real life. So the end results, very obvious. With the message quality framework in place, we can see the benefits of having a tool like that at the state health department to save money, save time, save resources, and increase the overall quality of integration. I'm going to click through these slides, I think, a little bit in the interest of time, and go straight to the prototype. Over the past few months, as I've mentioned, the CDC data and message brokering team has worked on the prototype for message quality framework. So I'll run through some screenshots so you can see what the, you can get an idea of what we've come up with so far. Let me go back actually for a second. So this is the MQF homepage. It's divided into three areas. On the left, we have links to the release notes, related message specifications and guides, FinVADS, FIN certification, and other useful sites. On the right, we have instructions for the user. And the center panel is the main work area where messages are selected and validated. So let's say I'm a developer at a state and I've been using the FIN message specs and mapping guides and FinVADS to come up with a test HL7 message, and I want to see how closely this test message aligns with those requirements. For the purposes of the demo, let's say I'm using a TB message. So I click on the validation link, and then I load the test message from my hard drive or network drive. The message I loaded is displayed in the text area, and I click Submit. When I scroll down, I can see my validation results. Unfortunately, in this particular case, the message that I had was not perfect, and there are 5 errors at the top that I can read through and correct the message, and then resubmit the message until I get a clean report. Also, I can see the entire submitted HL7 message, parsed and displayed in a tabular structure for easy readability. Lastly, I can choose to print the report, save it to my local drive, or email it to myself or anyone else I choose. So that's what the prototype does at this point. It currently is focused on the TB version 2.0 message, but again, there's no reason why it cannot be extended to other notifiable conditions, to lab messages, or any other messages. As I mentioned before, FLIP, CRA, LIMS-I, CDA, anything else that, again, has a defined structure and a constrained vocabulary. This is a very, very high level and a very, very preliminary graphical representation of what the roadmap for MQF might look like. The overall idea is that we move from having a number of independent systems and solutions that currently support the idea of message validation to bringing them under one roof within the message quality framework. And we'll be working on this pretty intensely in the next few weeks and months to define the architecture and to finalize the roadmap. So how are we thinking about rolling this out? Phase one was what you just saw, a prototype. Phase two, we're hoping to deploy this at the CDC, hopefully with some partner participation for beta testing and limited use. Phase three, we'll make it available to anyone who wants to use it and develop a model for managing this as a product. So what are the next steps? We need your feedback. We need your suggestions, and we need your participation so that we can collaboratively develop a roadmap for the features and services that will be part of the framework. We will be setting up a message quality framework product user group, and we will try to do that within the framework of existing communities of practice, such as vocabulary and messaging COP, and possibly laboratory and messaging COP. We will also set up a page or a group on phconnect.org. So please stay tuned to further announcements via the COPs, and go to phconnect.org in the next few days for more information. In the meantime, if you want to get involved right away, please email me at svl0@cdc.gov. Thank you for your time.
Is there a question for Sergi right now?
Yes.
Okay, you can hear me. I thought I'm pretty loud. So the difference is that the message construct, you know, the version 2.2.3.1 is the earlier version of HL7, and there are some segments that are supported in that version. The 2.5.1 is an expanded version of that, depending on the message type that you're looking at. Does that answer?
Yes, in the way back.
Is this only for HL7?
It doesn't have to be. Again, anything with that has a defined. Anything that has a defined message structure that it can actually be validated, and or a constrained vocabulary of some sort that can be validated, can be incorporated into this framework. So it could be a XML message or some other type of message. John?
Product that I can use right now for 2.3.1. When do you think that you might have a phase two or a website for those?
I think we're still in the planning phases of all that, and I think as part of the this demo, after this demo, and as a result of the demos, we'll be collecting and reviewing the feedback that we're getting, and trying to come up with some time frames for when this can be released for at least limited use, and then for sort of the overall rollout. So.
In addition to profiles, is that going to be controlled at the CDC level as far as, I'm just thinking if there were people that might have an Android.
I think that's all, and I don't know if any of the FTEs want to jump in, but right now this is all widely open for discussion and feedback and input. This is a framework, so theoretically, you know, it doesn't mean it is centrally, you know, managed or centrally controlled. Theoretically, we can have people have either their own instances of this, which they can manage the way that they want, or provide updates to it via some sort of a controlled process to the central version.
I just want to say my perception is for quality control at my level. I have other organizations that I interact with at the state, and I can certainly use it to assist meetings and develop interface with people across the state that only interact with the state level, don't interact with the CDC. So I can use it in that context also.
I mean, there's absolutely a need. Anytime we've brought up the topic, you know, in any setting, there's been tremendous feedback and response. And I think the way to manage this might be to do that through the user group that we're trying to set up, so that we can address the concerns of the various stakeholders at the state level, federal level, or other organizations.
Any other questions for any of the other speakers? I think I had one for Jeff. One of the things you talked about was the post-implementation period of your framework, and I find that to be the number one failure point, especially in these EMRs. Do you have any tools that you have used in your analysis to help in that particular part? I think that's the hardest part to manage because there's very few tools there right now.
You actually bring up a real good point. There, at least from a healthcare perspective, that is one area that there is a lack of available tools to do it. However, if you look at it from just literally a business process engineering standpoint, there are well-documented tools and standard, and I shouldn't say standards, tools and processes out there that can allow you to work through your workflows and re-engineer them. From a public health perspective, I think one of the most successful ones that I've seen implemented has just been the taking care of business methodology that PHII has put out. It's very simple, it's very efficient, and in terms of just reworking business process can be very beneficial. In more of a clinical setting, it's basically taking that same concept and actually driving down probably another one or two tiers. But if there are basic tools and methodologies to help you do that. If anyone's actually interested in that, feel free to email me, and I can send a number of different resources to your attention.
Yes.
I don't think I was looking at the right part of the slides when you were talking about the eSurveil ETL. Does the ETL just handle the message after it gets to CDC, or will it actually work on the medical record system or the EHR and pull the appropriate data out of that?
Yeah, it acts from the FinMS queue on our side, so it's only at CDC. And that's why I was so excited about Jeff's presentation, as well as recent developments in the administration focusing on electronic health records and improving the infrastructure at the facilities, because the more fertile that ground is, the easier it will be to get data out of there. Right now, the researchers at facilities and the people that want to do studies or even just look at the data just can't get at it because the data is really closed down. And there's also another point that I always assume this, but the arrow pointing back to the NHSN users in the web interface, we have a strong feeling that all the data that users put in, they should be able to also get out and analyze. So we also, in the NHSN web interface, there are canned reports that users can run, and there's also a full SAS backend that any data element that they put in, they can analyze it. So once the electronic data would go into the web interface, then they would be able to analyze it however they want. Is there another question?
In the way back?
Yeah. One of your slides early on mentioned that 50% failure rate for the ARM to 18 versus a lot of ways to find failure.
Right. That's actually a really good point. That's actually a real good point, and the actual article that I pulled that data from is an ongoing research project. So what I was able to derive from it was not information from the full study. We're all waiting for it to be released, basically, and that was one thing that really wasn't identified in the article that was put out before the research was done, and that was what constitutes failure. You're exactly right. In my mind, failure can mean a number of different things. It can mean anything from throwing the project out the door to having something that's in, but it wasn't exactly implemented correctly. I honestly don't have a good answer for you in that regard. It was just used very loosely.
Well, since there's no other questions, Roland made a good point back here that perhaps I wasn't very clear that the data coming populating our e-surveillance messages actually comes from the electronic data sources already at the hospital that they're using for their everyday use, the admission, discharge, transfer, as well as the microbiology and the pharmacy. So that's where the fertile ground is very important to be able to get the data out of those systems to populate the messages, whether for our use or other groups' use, because Austin has worked on projects to standardize the 2.5 messages to HITSV standards as well as other standards so that we can put all the data into one message and then send it to the appropriate places to reduce burden on everybody.
Are there any further questions? Yes.
Do you want me to go through those, or you guys just want to read them?
Yeah.
No, it's. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't know. Really, the biggest thing is that people, at least again, data and message brokering, we are the contact folks for the states to test their messages. So, the number of inquiries that we get and the level of sometimes. The quality of the messages that we get is widely, it's all over the place. So if somebody at the state has access to this tool, they can improve the quality of their message considerably before even contacting anybody else. So that's kind of really the main point of this, I think. And it reduces the implementation time frame. Yes, please. Well, that is absolutely the idea, that it's reusable to do that as well. I mean, this seems to be the I don't know if it's the more important need, but it seems to be the more visible need to do that right now on the front end of the process, so that the messages that are getting into the systems are already good, and then you can certainly transfer that to the back end of the process to make sure that they're still good, I guess.
All right, I'd like to thank our speakers one more time and thank you for the participation today.